KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky. It's 5 degrees below zero. We look forward to be partly to mostly sunny today, a high near 15. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at Atlantic. In area news, the Board of Supervisors in Adair County will hear several funding requests for fiscal year 2018 during their meeting this morning in their boardroom at the Adair County Courthouse. The meeting begins at 9 o'clock with the board considering recommendations from the County Compensation Board and consideration of FY 2018 hourly wage increases for full and part-time county employees. Requests for fiscal year 2018 funding are also expected from the Adair County Attorney, Ag Extension Council, Library, Southern Iowa Trolley, the Fair Board, County Auditor, Matura, the Adair County Historical Society, Southern Iowa Council of Governments, Resource Conservation and Development, and the Department of Human Services. Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst will visit parts of southwest Iowa tomorrow during her 99-county tour of the state. Ernst from Red Oak will hold a Montgomery County Town Hall meeting beginning at 9 a.m. Saturday at the Montgomery County Family YMCA in Red Oak. Later that evening at 5:30, she'll be in Page County visiting with students at the Clarinda Academy. Prior to that, though, she'll be in Winterset for a coffee with Joni, which takes place at the Northside Cafe beginning at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. The Creston Police Department reports today one person was arrested and later released from custody Thursday. 24-year-old Cody Cook of Creston was pulled over at Walnut and Page Streets in Creston. At around 7 a.m. Thursday, he was arrested for driving under suspension and later released from the county jail in Union County on $300 bond. Slippery road conditions are apparently to blame for a non-injury accident in Creston Thursday morning. According to Creston Police, 44-year-old Tammy Lynn Case of Creston was driving a 2001 Isuzu Rodeo eastbound on Clark Street at around 8:20 a.m. and turning right to head down an alley when her vehicle slid on the road over a curb and struck a tractor that was parked in a yard. The tractor, owned by Trevor Hackwell of Creston, sustained $800 damage. Well, damage to the SUV was estimated at $900. There were no citations issued. And Creston police say a woman complained of pain but was not transported to the hospital following a collision Thursday morning at South Walnut and East Page Streets in Creston. A vehicle driven by Jennifer Mackey of Clearfield was traveling north on South Walnut at around 6:50 a.m. when her 2003 Chevy was struck by an eastbound 2011 Impala. The driver of the Impala, 24-year-old Cody James Cook of Creston, failed to yield at the controlled intersection. Cook was charged with driving while suspended and failure to have insurance. Damage amounted to $6,000. The Shenandoah Police Department said yesterday that officers used a stun gun to control a man they were trying to place under arrest. That happened at around 1:30 p.m. or a.m. last Saturday after Shenandoah Police responded to a domestic disturbance at a residence in the 100 block of Forbes Street in Essex. Upon arrival, officers made contact with 20-year-old Jared Comstock of Coyne. Authorities say Comstock became combative with the officers and a taser was deployed. The man was then taken into custody and charged with interference with official acts and disorderly conduct. Comstock was released at the scene on his own recognizance and given an initial court date. Officials at the Harlan Police Department yesterday released a report on their most recent arrests. On December 28th, 40-year-old Philip Poole of Harlan was arrested after police were called to a disturbance in the 1000 block of Dye Street. Poole was taken to the Shelby County Jail and charged with assault for allegedly assaulting Ryan Holm of Harlan. Last Saturday, Harlan police arrested 32-year-old Joseph Smith Kidd and 29-year-old Kimberly Kidd, both of Harlan, for violation of a no-contact order after the pair were seen together. And on Wednesday, 20-year-old Gage Johnston of Harlan was taken into custody following a traffic stop. Johnston was transported to the Shelby County Jail and charged with driving under suspension. He was also cited for failure to prove security against liability. In other news, free tax preparation services will be available in Shelby County for low and moderate income taxpayers as part of the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance or VITA program. For more information or to make an appointment, call on or after January 9th to 712-755-3104. You're asked to call between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, again beginning January 9th. After an appointment is scheduled, the taxpayer will receive a confirmation letter explaining what to bring to the appointment. The VITA program is open to Iowa residents with an adjusted gross income below $57,000. Tax preparation services will be provided by IRS-trained and certified local volunteers who utilize the Tax Slayer software to complete returns. Most returns will be electronically filed, and to speed up refund process, Participants are encouraged to have a savings or bank account, although it's not required. Taxpayers can have refunds directed into deposited in more than one account and can also purchase Series 1 U.S. savings bond. Not only the basic federal, Iowa, and nearby state returns will be processed. A professional taxpayer should be consulted for any other forms or those related to business profit and loss, capital gains losses, farm or rental income, employee business expenses, or any moving expenses. In Shelby County, the VITA program is a joint effort of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach and the Iowa Center for Economic Success. An Iowa company has settled a Medicaid billing dispute for $1 million. The Des Moines Register reports the West Des Moines-based company was known as Ultimate Nursing Services when the bills were filed from 2011 to 2013. It's now known as Universal Pediatrics. Federal prosecutors said Thursday the company bills included entertainment and travel costs unrelated to the care of children with disabilities. The settlement did not include any admission of wrongdoing. The company's lawyer says the issues stem from errors in complying with Medicaid rules. Elsewhere in the news, Iowa is seeing a construction boom at the same time contractors are being challenged with a worker shortage. Chad Kleppe, president and CEO of Master Builders of Iowa, says the situation will only worsen over the next 5 years as about one-third of the existing workforce retires. Kleppe says the worker shortage is changing the way Iowa builders go about their jobs.
Contractors are by nature very creative in how they're going to meet workforce needs, and obviously they're trying to do more with less right now, but also they're, in some respects, they're changing the way they may construct.
Some contractors in central Iowa are putting pieces of buildings together on manufacturing floors before hauling them to construction sites as a way to save labor. Kleppe says his association is ramping up efforts to recruit students into considering construction industry careers.
You can come out of high school and earn while you learn, and in some respects, after 5 years in the industry, you're making north of $50,000 to $55,000 with zero college debt.
Kleppe says they're targeting Iowa kids as young as middle school. Several of Iowa's labor unions staged a State House news conference late Thursday to send a message to Republican lawmakers considering changes to Iowa's collective bargaining law. Kindergarten teacher Katie McMahon of Cedar Rapids is a member of the Iowa State Education Association.
Politicians who make our unions and our professions targets for political attacks and want to cut budgets on our backs do so at the peril of the safety and well-being of our citizens of the state.
Adam Choate of Altoona is a policeman and member of the Teamsters Union. He worries lawmakers will no longer allow contract negotiations to cover things like whether the city or the policeman pays for ongoing training, safety equipment like bulletproof vests.
Eroding our voices on the job and cutting the profession will have a drain for the Iowa police officers, just like it has in other states around us that chose to cut the voice that the police officers have in their profession.
Sean Pasek, a member of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Union, or AFSCME, works for the DOT and he drives a snowplow this time of year.
Before doing this job, I took for granted how the roads I traveled every day got cleared in the harsh Iowa winters and how transportation infrastructure remains safe for me and my family. As we head into legislative session next week, please remember who the AFSCME members are that work on your behalf to make Iowa happen.
And Governor Branstad has proposed taking health care off the list of topics covered in negotiations with the unions that represent state workers. Branstad suggests it would be cheaper to have one massive agreement on health care coverage for all bargaining units in Iowa. That means it would cover city, county, and school districts as well as state government. Iowa's current law outlining union rights for public sector workers was approved in 1974 by Republican Governor Robert Ray. It set up a system for contract negotiations, and in return, union workers at all levels of government, including teachers, do not go on strike. The news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.